impart a word in you that's going to get in your spirit to stay with you, amen, so that what you receive on the inside of this building, you will take to the outside of this room in a magnitude fashion where you won't be able to not walk in what you have been taught today, because it'll frustrate your spirit if you even try to go back to the old way of thinking or doing things. I speak that prophetically. Something gonna pat you on your shoulder and say, hold up, wait a minute. You know what you heard. Be not hearers only of the word, but be ye doers of his word. Hallelujah. So our .com faith series is dealing with the vision of faith. Amen. Open up your Bibles. Amen. Turn to your Bible app. Amen. To Joel 2:28. And I'm going to read that to you, and we're going to get right into it. Amen. And you all know how I flow, right? We might go over a whole lot, but we're going to get out of here on time. Hallelujah. We're going to get out of here on time. Y'all just got to keep up with me. If I shoot off, y'all just shoot off with me, okay? When I come back, you come back, and we'll be in this thing together. Stand to your feet for Joel 2:28, since you're not going to do a whole lot of shouting anyway. Go on, stand to your feet. 2:28. And it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Underline that. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, meaning I'm going to release the super upon your natural, and you will have supernatural encounters. I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. Amen. Y'all with me? He's going to release the super on our natural, and we're going to have a supernatural encounter. Here's what's going to take place. Somebody caught that. Hallelujah. And here is the outcome. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Come on. They're going to see and hear in the supernatural. That's what prophecy is. Come on. Sons and daughters. I love it. Come on. Male and female. Come on. The mothers and the fathers. Come on. Everybody. The boys and the girls. Come on. Everybody going to prophesy. They're going to see and hear in the supernatural. When I release the super on your natural and you have these supernatural encounters, they're going to prophesy. It says your old men will dream dreams. Come on. That means they're going to go back into the vision casting state. Come on. That God originally designed for humans to walk in. They're going to forecast what they see with their eyes closed. That's what dreaming dreams are all about. Close your eyes for a minute. Come on, it's time for us to dream again, because the word says that they are going to dream dreams. They're going to forecast the future with their eyes closed. And it says your young men will see vision. Somebody shout the vision of faith. Go ahead and take your seats. It's important that you always remember Proverbs 29 and 18, because it says to us where there is no vision. Somebody shout no vision. One more time, no vision. Okay, or prophetic revelation. Come on, the people perish. Amen. So when we catch the vision or the prophetic revelation of God's word, the light comes on. Let me say that again. When we catch the vision or the prophetic revelation of God's word, the light comes on. Am I right about it? And so when we look at the light coming on, that's what prophetic revelation does. It tells us what to do, where to do it, and how to do it. Come on. Because now we have the word of God that is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, and is directing us and showing us what to do and where to go and how to get there. Amen. So we have to have that prophetic revelation, and then the light comes on and we can see exactly what we're to do. In Psalm 119, jot this down, 104 through 106. It says, I love 104. It says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Come on, your teachings. Come on. This is where we gain understanding from. And it says, therefore, I hate every wrong path. What's the wrong path? The wrong path is our own teaching, our own understanding. So David said, I hate the wrong path. Come on, but I love your teaching. I love the path that your word puts me on, but I hate my own teaching and my own understanding. 105 says, revelation of his word is a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. Amen? And so by faith, we begin to tap into what we're supposed to do, but it's not by our own understanding. It's by a higher understanding that God is operating in, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Come on. So now when we begin to operate based on what he has said, we begin to operate on a higher level than what we know, and that is the supernatural faith level. Amen? And so I have a quick story for you. I remember back in the day, Pastor Charlie and I, we were house hunting. We were house hunting. And we knew in our natural that we needed a larger home, and we knew what the home needed to consist of. But it wasn't until one day I received prophetic revelation to go into this neighborhood and scope out my house. And I did. It was a big, beautiful white brick home, just gorgeous. And I sat there week after week. When I got out of church on Sunday, Elder Kim, I'd pull up to this house and I'd sit there. And then I started getting out. Come on, this is prophetic revelation. In my own understanding, this don't make any sense whatsoever. But I started getting out of my car and just kind of walking up and down, you know, around the perimeters of this home and just acting like I'm dropping things. And then I located a picnic bench. Messed me up. So now I'm sitting at the picnic bench with a notebook and I'm just prophetically writing what I hear God saying. And none of this is making sense to me. So long story short, when it came time for us to secure a builder, I secured a builder and I said, look, there's a home out in this development called Kiln Creek that I need you to go see. Come on, you know, somebody know where I'm going. Because I want you to build my house just like this house. And he says to me on the telephone, well, Miss Ammons, that shouldn't be any problem because I'm the builder of those homes. I built the house you've been sitting in. Oh, come on, y'all. So something tells me when you tap into the prophetic revelation of God's word, come on, you begin to do things that you cannot even explain in the earth realm, in the natural, to the five senses. They don't sound right. They don't look right. They just don't feel right. What am I doing? Baby, you have tapped into a supernatural encounter with the true and the living God. And he's able to connect the dots like you could never connect in and of yourself. So I thought that was an amazing story because he says, I am the builder of that home. And I said, oh, that explains it then. My spirit was connecting with your spirit. Every week I sat there and marveled over this home. Something about what I was seeing was getting in my spirit to lead me to call you. Somebody shout prophetic revelation. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Charlie and I said that natural sight, somebody shout natural sight. Come on, point to your eyes. Natural sight, Natural sight reveals obstacles. Write that down. We said that, Mother Louise, and then we said, while faith reveals answers. Oh, yeah. Natural sight reveals obstacles, while faith reveals answers. And Pastor Charlie and I went to Luke 5 and 17, where it talks about the day that Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees, come on, the leaders of the rulers, all everybody sitting there, the teachers of the law, everybody sitting there listening to Jesus. Come on, because a lot of leaders and a lot of teachers are just looking for a good word. They're looking to see if all of the theologian, you know, scriptures and the subheadings and the bullets and the points. And when you get to the closing, can you, somebody say amen. They wait. They looking. See, the Pharisees and the teachers, they're not looking for what a true anointed believer is looking for. We're looking for power. We're looking for authority. But the teachers making sure that your period and your comma and your capitalization and your pausing. Come on, y'all. I saw that. Say the Pharisees and the teachers were sitting there listening to Jesus, right? But do you know that the next part of that verse says, and the power of the Lord was on Jesus to heal the sick. Come on. showed those Pharisees something, didn't it? It's more than just a good topic, a good sermon, a good hoop and a good closing and a good church service. And whoo, I had a fun time. And whoo, yeah, did y'all hear that choir? Did you hear that Hammond? What's that called? That Hammond B what? B3. Did you hear? Did you hear all of that? I don't know about you, but I ain't studying no Hammond. I ain't studying. Come on. All I'm worried about is what am I hearing and what am I seeing as I press my way like the woman with the issue of blood. Just let me press my way through the crowd to get what I need to get, to take me where I need to be, to receive the healing that I need to receive, to be delivered the way I need to be delivered, to obtain the healing and the salvation for my family that I need to obtain for my family. Can I get to that place while the Pharisees and the teachers are looking and critiquing the man of God? Can I open up my spiritual ears to just hear what word is he or she going to say that's going to bring power to my situation? That's why the word says incline your ear instead of sitting back, relaxing and critiquing. The word says, incline your ear and seek after the word that God has for you. Amen. So it says, and the power of the Lord was on Jesus to heal the sick. And answers are revealed and released in an atmosphere where the supernatural power of God is present. Am I right about it? Whenever you catch the vision or the prophetic revelation that Jesus has power to heal, power to save, set free, and deliver, power to build up, and power to root and destroy. Come on. This is prime time to bust the move. Woo, Minister Raj, I knew I'd get a repeat over here on this corner right there. See, they acting up, y'all. Those are troublemakers. It's prime time to bust the move. Prime time to tap into that supernatural faith realm that's been released in your presence where miracles take place. Is anybody other than Pastor C and Pastor V in need for a miraculous move of God? Is anybody else in need for God to do something that you can't do by yourself, to provide resources, oh my God, that I just can't provide myself, God? But I know in an atmosphere of faith, my God, miracles are released. So the church of the 21st century moves away from miracles? I don't think so. We're still looking for miracles, are we not? Our visitors being blessed, let's celebrate God for the visitors just receiving the word. Go ahead, take your seat. Call this story time. So I remember sitting in this surgeon's office because some of you heard the story, but just bear with me. You know, God always shows me somebody in the natural and their encounter and their outcome. I think that's just so miraculous. So God shows me a coworker whose child underwent tubes in the ear, started out as a minor ear infection, escalated to antibiotics. You mothers know the story. From antibiotics, if there's no resolution of the ear infection, then you go to tubes in the ear. And so this woman went through all of the necessary stages and come to find out, even after the surgical procedure where tubes were implanted in the ear, come on, that was supposed to provide drainage for the infection and for the fluid, okay? She continued to come back to me and I'm like, why is she coming telling me all of these stories? She comes back and says, even with the surgical procedure, now the infection is wrapped around the tubes. I'm like, Jesus. And so at this time in my spiritual growth, Nikki, I wasn't at the level where I can say, bring your baby here and let me lay my hands on him. I wasn't at that point, Deacon Pack. I was still in the learning phase. Anybody still open and willing to learn and receive and sit and be taught? Anybody? The teacher loves you. So I'm in the teaching phase. There was no let me lay hands, come on, let me pray with you. I'm sitting there like, what? This is crazy. So I go home, and my oldest son, firstborn Jonathan, develops an ear infection. I take him to the pediatric like she did, and she says, okay, I need to give him an antibiotic. I'm like, okay. Well, praise the Lord, I'm going to lay hands on this bottle. I got enough faith to know that as he takes it, Lord Jesus healed his infection. But the infection didn't go away. And it escalated to the point where they said, Ms. Ammons, we need to set up a surgical appointment. I said, what? Yeah, your son is going to need to set up an appointment to have tubes placed in his ear to help drain the fluid. And they went through the diagram and everything. And I'm sitting there like, what? So I get all the way to the surgeon's office, saints. Rashida, I'm sitting in the office, and I said that when the power of God of healing came upon Jesus, didn't I say that was prime time to bust a move? Remember that? Ooh, Jesus, while the Pharisees is looking and critiquing and wondering what you're going to do now, how you going to do it, when the power of God came upon Jesus, it's time to bust a move. So I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and I open up this book by Mike Murdoch, Tawana. And, you know, he's the faith doctor. I'm up in the surgeon's office reading a book by the faith doctor. And I read a word that was an on-time word for my situation. And you know what I did? I shut the book because they said, Miss Ammons, Jonathan, come on to the back. And I went to the back and that word was on me. And like Jesus, Claudia, I declare the power to heal came upon me. And I got into the back room, and when she shut the door, all I could do was grab Jonathan and sit him on my lap and begin to take a deep breath and say that the same breath of God that was placed on the inside of me, Jonathan, I now breathe into these ears. I breathe the power of healing. And I said, I turned his other ear around and I began to speak that no weapon formed against you because the power of healing had come upon me shall prosper. And I breathed in his left ear. Within 5 seconds, the door opened and the surgeon walked in and washed his hands and got sterile and said, Ms. Ammons, I understand you're here. Your son needs an appointment for tubes in his ear. And I said, well, yeah, that's what they say. So he said, well, let me see. And he took his scope down. Come on, Elder, come here. And this is what he did to Jonathan as he sat on my lap. He said, let me look in this ear. And he turned Jonathan around and he looked in this ear. And I heard him say, He went to the other ear and he looked in his ear and he said, And I said, what is it, surgeon? He says, well, you're here for a tube to be placed in his ear for a massive ear infection. But for some reason, Miss Ammons, some miraculous way, your son's ears are clear as a whistle. If you don't pack this boy up and get out of here, I don't even know why you're here today. Saints, that tells me that we got to make sure that we stay in that supernatural faith realm. Come on, when the power of God is released in the house of God for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, somebody shout, it's prime time. Lift your hands in the air because that's what's in this house. That's what's releasing. That's what's releasing over this series. Hallelujah. Faith for the impossible. Thank you, Elder. Thank you. Sometimes we miss that moment. When we hear his word and he says, do something, we think, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to get into it because we have a whole lot of reasons and excuses. We're going to get there. So now in verse 18 of that same Luke passage, we begin to see in Luke 5, verse 18, PC talked about some men came carrying the paralyzed man on a mat and they couldn't get in the house, right? So when they couldn't find a way, come on, in the natural, you can't find a way to accomplish this, they began to bring him up on the roof and lowered him in through the tile of the ceiling, right? And it says that when Jesus saw their faith, come on, faith is the only thing that moves God. It's in verse 20. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. So that tells us, write this down, our faith moves God. That's it, our faith. We're trying to move God with tears and screaming and I'm tired, Lord, I'm tired. Do this for me. Hey, do you hear me up there, Lord? That don't move God. That's why I could sit in that surgeon room and just breathe a breath. Because What moved God was my faith in the power of that breath to bring the healing. So people think, you know, when you see, we talk about parking lot prophecies, that's those people that's all out in the pond, get out and casting out. Babe, I can walk up to you and say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I walk in my house and there's no disobedience and rebellion. This is just a commercial break. You know, there's no disobedience and rebellion up in the Ammons household. And I'm not screaming to accomplish that either. Oh, no. Parents think, get down here. I'm sick and tired. And I'm not going to tell you no more. And then they got the nerve to want to jack them up. Physical. I'm helping somebody. Didn't I say don't do that no more? Elaine, I walk up in there and if I even smell disobedience, I smell rebellion. I said, wash them dishes, take that trash out. Go ask Jonathan. I go in there and I stretch forth my hand. And I say, I command every spirit of rebellion and disobedience in this house, in their room. I speak to you. I nullify you. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. And I cast you out. I read a book. It talked about opening up the windows, Deacon Monique. Y'all read that book? I open up the windows because if I cast you out and there's no outlet, you're just going to roam around and you're going to wait for the kids to come back in and you're going to enter into him seven times worse than which you came. So I open up them windows and I say, yeah, in the name of Jesus, I decree that this house is clean, it's pure, it's free from sickness and disease, disobedience and rebellion. In a nice, calm voice. Amen? How many of y'all going to try that? So you got to get those nuggets. You know, I read that book, and to me, that was prophetic revelation. Why is nothing happening when I'm praying and commanding? Because there's no outlet for it to go. So it's roaming around in your home, waiting to settle, waiting for an arid or a dry mind to settle back in. But when you open up the windows, now you release them back into the earth realm. And now guess what it does? It goes and look for a dry or an arid place out there and not in here. Hallelujah. You go find somebody out there that's not doing and focusing on your word, not in here. Amen. And so Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance. Somebody, when you write substance, put in parentheses confidence of things hoped for. And faith is the evidence, put in parentheses with evidence, just write assurance of things not seen. So attorneys present their facts to the judge as evidence to prove their case. Can I get a witness? Let me say it. Attorneys present their facts to the judge, the facts. Come on, it is what it is. This is what I see. This is where they were. They present the facts to the judge as evidence to prove the case. We present our faith to God as evidence to prove our case. How are we going to tap into what we want or desire or believe for? We present our faith to God because that's the only thing that's going to, somebody say, move God. Faith, not facts, move God. And as the ultimate judge and decision maker of every case, come on, that we could possibly present to him, it's only our faith that's going to move in his ruling. Come on. In order for him to decide whether or not, come on, not if, but whether or not he's going to give what we are standing before him pleading the case for, he's going to look and examine the evidence. And the word says faith is the substance and faith is the evidence. Oh, yeah, that's why God looks and examines the heart, because the heart is what holds what you believe. So he don't care about your outfit. He don't care about your, he don't care where you live. He don't even care how much money you make. You can't bring those type of facts to God to move him. Somebody caught that. That's why believers get envy and jealous of other believers, because they think they got a monopoly on God because they look like they got it going on. But if they don't believe what God told them, they don't have it going on any more than the unbeliever. You might as well sit down, be quiet, and take some notes, right? If they look good on the outside but don't believe God in the inside with their heart, come on, they are an unbelieving believer. Wow. So I got a couple of questions, y'all. Is your faith or your facts on display with other people? Is your faith or your facts on display? How you doing? Oh, my head hurt. My back got a pain shooting up in my leg, my hip, my joints hurt. Is your faith or the facts on display with other people? Which one? Or how you doing? Girl, I'm awesome. I'm just enjoying life. I'm loving what God is about to do. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm so excited. Is your facts or your faith on display? What do people see when they come in contact with you? And lastly, could they depend on your faith to carry them through if they had to? Could they depend on your faith to carry them through if they had to? Amen. And I remember this time where there was a young lady I came into contact with, and she just wasn't strong enough in her faith to fight her own battle. Yeah. And so I remember consciously entering. Because that's what I believe Todd Bentley says in his Supernatural Encounter book, is that you have to purposefully. Come on, we purposefully enter into this supernatural faith realm. So because she wasn't strong enough in her own faith, I didn't have anything else to do this Saturday. So I purposefully entered into for somebody else. Mm-hmm. What that tells God is that if you got her, I got you. Hallelujah. Somebody gonna catch that. Somebody gonna catch that. He said, if you got that much faith for her, I got faith for you. So I remember she was going through a major ordeal, and I entered into this place. I said, God, give me what I need to bring healing and deliverance to this young lady. And I pray this isn't too deep for you, and I don't think it is, amen? And I hope it doesn't seem spooky to you, because it's not spooky, because supernatural encounters are something that you just can't wrap your mind around. So I need you to come out of your mind right now. Come out of your flesh and come into the spirit with me, okay? So this girl was tormented. The enemy was tormenting her, and I could feel it in my spirit, and I knew that if she can't fight for herself, I need to fight for her. So in this purposeful encounter with the Spirit of God, I had a vision where I saw a glimpse of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. And I saw his hands stretched wide. Mm-hmm. And I saw nails in his feet and nails in his hand. And then I saw in this vision, I literally saw blood streaming down, just like we preach about. And the blood came streaming down. And in this vision, the Lord said, now cup your hand under the blood. And I did. And then he said, now throw it to the left, which is the north. Throw it to the right, which is the south. Throw it to the east and the west. Because mind you, I was in a closet. So I threw it to each of the four points. Thank you. And came out of this encounter. And about a couple days later, I don't know if it was two or three, probably three, because three is the number of completion. I received a phone call of this young lady's husband screaming and shouting. And he was like, Pastor Vicky, she's been delivered. She's back to her normal self. She's no longer tormented. The windows are not shut and the blinds are not closed. The house is not dark. She's opened up all of the windows again. And I knew at that moment that whatever was tormenting and vexing her spirit, I knew that I had to have enough faith, Betsy, to fight for her soul. And he says, what can stand up against the blood of the Lamb? I said, nothing. Can principality? No. Can demonic forces? No. Can sickness? No. Can disease? No. Can poverty? No. Can debt? No. When we come into encounters with other people, the question is, will they make it through because of our faith? Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so even with that encounter, I knew then that I had to come out of self. And in dealing with the voice of faith, I realized that I had to stop playing church and be the church. I realized that it was time for me to receive a new dimension, a new level of power and authority in the faith realm that I was not walking in before. Amen. And so even when we look at just a few minutes, I want to go to one more scripture and just deal with one hindrance of faith being doubt. And then we're going to close. Is that all right? Isn't this something? I don't even know what time we normally close, but I'm just going to release this. And we're going to believe God that we're about to enter, come on, together into a new place. And so one hindrance of faith that Pastor Charlie and I wanted to mention is doubt. Just jot down doubt. If we doubt, why do we even pray is the question. If we doubt, why pray? Just don't pray because you don't believe, right? So how many of us are praying? Then we might as well believe that what we're praying is going to manifest. If we're going to pray, can I see the hands of those of us in the room that's praying? Let me see. I got to take survey. I see one hand down. I see just one. Let me go back and see if he lifted it. No, I still see one down. Okay, everybody in the room is praying with the exception of that one person. I'm just picking with you. But if you're praying, raise your hand. Come on. All right, he raised it this time. Hallelujah. The whole house is praying. Whole house is praying. Amen. So if we're praying, we might as well believe what we're praying is going to come true. Here's a question. When we pray, at what point do we shift from praying to decreeing? That it's finished. It's finished. It's a done deal. Okay? My answer is this. When our spirit interacts and becomes one with the Spirit of God concerning the matter, we can decree it's finished. We can start praying. If God says, I'm going to do it and it's going to happen, it's going to manifest, I can stop praying and I can start decreeing it's finished. Why am I going to keep praying for something that God said is already done? So we shift from praying to decreeing when our spirit becomes one and interacts with the Spirit of God, it's finished. So even in closing here, y'all, look, John 19 and 30. This is your example, okay? This is your example. Y'all being blessed? Amen. And I'm taking my time, and it just feel like I'm getting so much accomplished, but I'm like, wow, it's not even 11 o'clock yet. Hallelujah. We're just flowing. And that's what I asked God to allow me to do. Amen. So the question is, at what point do we shift from praying to decreeing? The answer is when our spirit interacts and becomes one with the Spirit of God concerning the matter, it's finished. It's finished. So in John 19 and 30, at the point when Jesus gave up the ghost, somebody know where I'm going. At the point where Jesus gave up the ghost, he released his spirit and said, I commend my spirit into your hands, Lord. It was at that point that he concludes the matter with, it is finished. One of the seven last words on the cross. Amen. He said, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Somebody shout, it's finished. And so at that point, the question is, when and how and where are you going to get to the point of your spirit interacting with God's spirit so that he can confirm? Come on, there's a confirmation. He relates to us spirit to spirit, not spirit to flesh. That's why our emotions don't move him. He's looking for our spirit, which is our faith. Amen? And that's how he interacts with us. When he finds our faith manifesting in his presence, we can say, it's finished. Do I have any it is finished believers? That you can wrap your spirit around, not your mind, because your mind can't comprehend, but can you just close your eyes for a second, just a second, and place in your spirit, not your mind, what is it that you're believing God for and say, God, I want to hear you on this. I want your confirmation. And go ahead and say under your breath, it's finished. So when we look at doubt, all right, write down Luke 1. Because after I give you this scenario for the fifth time in my closing, we're going to be done. Amen. Y'all stand up and give God a praise. Stand up and give God a praise. I know you're taking notes and I know you're receiving, but I want you to stay alert with me. Stay alert. Pastor Vicky's not going to run all around today and sweat and scream, amen? But believe me, in the spirit realm, I'm running. I'm sweating. I'm screaming. And I'm penetrating your spirit. Come on, give God another praise. Something is about to happen in your life. Something is changing and shifting and transitioning right now. God says you're the head and not the tail. And in the spirit realm, he's strategically elevating and promoting you and bringing you up to a higher place of operating in his kingdom. Come on, he's giving you, if you want the gift to lay hands, just lift your hands in the air, because he's releasing his gift for you to be able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover and be healed. He's releasing it to you now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take your seats. Hallelujah. In closing, so that I can report back to Pastor C that I did deal with one hindrance of faith. And when he returns, I'll say, we need to hit the last two, baby. But I opened it up with doubt. We just didn't get any further, man. They were just pulling on me, and I was sweating, and woo-wee, and I had to stop. I was tired, baby. I was tired. I only got the one hindrance. But we're going to get to it, and I pray that everybody's okay. Everybody okay? And I pray this is going to bless you, because doubt is an amazing hindrance, okay? All I want to do is compare Zechariah with Mary, because the angel Gabriel was sent to both of them. One of them experienced doubt and the other did not. And I want you to see the comparison. Is that okay? So in Luke 1, Zechariah, come on, verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, who, mind you, was a priest. Come on. So even priests can doubt, Pastor Vicky? You mean the elders and the ministers and the deacons on the front row can hear from God and still walk in doubt? Yep. Let me go here, because, see, we get so hooked up in the church. You mean the CEO and the founder of the organization and the business, and even though I'm walking in leadership and headship roles in corporate America, God can still speak a word to me and say it's time to go and I can doubt? Yep. Even though I can step out and start my business and God will tell me I'm going to release clients and you're going to be worldwide and I'm a business owner, I can still doubt. Somebody say, yep. So Zechariah was a priest and he was standing at the right side of the altar. And it says that when Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled. How many of us can appreciate that? He's like, hold up, wait a minute. Who's that dressed in that white gown? You know, what you doing here? I thought it was just me and nobody else in here. Where you come from? So, of course, the angel startled Zechariah. He was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Listen to this and underline this. Your prayer has been heard. So he met Zechariah not in a prayerlessness condition. He met him at the point of his prayer. Well, so what am I saying? I'm saying if we're praying, we ought to expect angelic visitation. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm trying to get us up here. Yeah. I remember laying on my bed, Pastor Chambers. That house I saw and the builder said I'm going to build it, where everybody and their mama said, ain't no way y'all going to qualify for this house. So I laid on my bed and I said, oh, this house is mine. And I decreed some things. And what you say? The heavens open, Nikki. God dispatched his full-fledged winged angel. And that angel had a set of keys that they dropped right at my belly. Out of your belly, out of your spirit shall flow. Come on. He dropped those keys right there. And you know, Pastor C, you like, well, babe, how did angel get keys on his wing? I said, I don't know, baby. Just listen to the story, will you? He's like, how did angel get the keys on his wing? He's like, he couldn't grip them. I said, baby, just listen to the story. You know he said that, right? Like, hi, angel. happening. Where's Woodbury? Woodbury, you in here? Dog, Elder Woodbury drew me a picture of an angel and brought it to me as a gift. And upon the delivery of this picture, Minister Jamila, tears just started welling up in my face and streaming down. And they looking at me like, what's wrong, Pastor Vicky? And I said, that's the angel that brought me the keys to the house I'm in right now. And so I looked for Pastor Charlie's answer to his question. How did the angel get keys on the wing? And so on the picture he drew me, right, Elder Wilson, the wings had cuts in them. Cuts that could accommodate a set of keys. And I said, look at that, baby. The angel, come on, he gripped that key on one of them cuts and he delivered it. He delivered it. He delivered it to me right in one of those powerful moments encountering the presence of God. So anyway, I was saying that the angel says to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Can you lift your hands if you're ready to receive your angelic visitation? I pronounce over the house that we are working too hard in the natural. We're doing things that God has dispatched our angels to do for us. But because we're still operating, I'm speaking prophetically, in the natural realm, in the natural realm of what we hear, see, and feel, we have not yet availed ourselves to the realm of angelic visitation where the host of angels around us are waiting for our command. To go and retrieve my goods, retrieve my spouse, retrieve my saved husband and my saved wife, retrieve the building that my business is in need of, retrieve my saved son and daughter from a backslidden condition. Go and retrieve and bring back the answer to my prayer. Retrieve my finances out of the storehouse. They're not doing me any good locked up in heaven. Can you go, Gabriel? Go and retrieve my money. Retrieve my finances. Increase my investment and my portfolio so that I can advance the kingdom. Go now and bring it back to me. If you receive that, shout amen. Retrieve it, retrieve it. Sometimes you just got to close your eyes and see what's taking place in the spirit realm. Are they moving on your behalf? Yes. If you believe, somebody's tapping into faith for the first time today, and miracles are taking place. So here's what Zechariah says to the angel, out of doubt. When he says your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, because your prayers have been heard, she's going to bear a son and you're going to call him John. Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? And here come the excuses. I'm an old man and my wife is old as well. His doubt, not his excuses, escorted him into silent frustration. So the angel shuts up his mouth and says, you will no longer talk until what I have said is accomplished. And many of us are seeing people be blessed all around us, and we're silently frustrated. And God says the answer is because we doubted what he spoke to us. We see people blessed all around us, having babies and birthing visions. Come on, babies, visions. They're birthing all around us, but on the inside of me, I'm not progressing, and I'm frustrated because I doubt what God said would happen to me. And so when you look at Mary, on the contrary, go to verse 26. God sent the same angel. See, this is how you know his word don't change. Are you being blessed? He didn't send Gabriel to Zechariah and then send another angel to Mary. He sent the same angel. So the same word that God sent your neighbor that's prospering them is the same word that he's sending you right now. Can you catch that? Don't think it's a different word. It's the same word, all right? And so Gabriel says to Mary, you found favor with the Lord, and you're going to give birth to a child. And he reads the litany of all that God's going to do. His kingdom will never end. And in verse 34, Mary says, how do you plan on accomplishing this since I'm a virgin. She had a whole different attitude. And when, long story made short, when the Holy Spirit explained to her, the angel explained to her what and how he's going to do this, Mary exclaimed in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said." In the midst of being a virgin, she didn't lift up her excuses to God. She just availed. Come on, go with me, y'all. She just availed the fact that I am your servant. And may it be unto me as you have said. Amen. And so many of us, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Many of us have lifted up excuses to God. And the excuses is not what moves him. It's our faith. Amen. Minister with me, Torre. And because this is the season of first right now, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're ready to come out of doubt and making excuses. And tap into the faith that's already been released in this room today. See, baptism is a public confession that you believe. And when you take that first step down this aisle, let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be activity in the natural realm that's going to be symbolic with the activity.